Davis, The Fan.
Good evening, I'm Nate Butterball, your sports update. According to Peter Thamel and Dave Wetzel of ESPN, Michigan has agreed to a five-year deal with former Utah coach Kyle Whittingham to become their next head football coach. Whittingham stepped down after 21 seasons at Utah. He led the Utes with almost 67% winning percentage and an unbeaten season in 2008. The deal is expected to be announced this evening. In other coaching news, Ohio University has officially promoted defensive coordinator John Hauser to head coach. He coached OU to a 17-10 win over UNLV on Tuesday. Afternoon football featured some Big Ten teams. Northwestern defeated Central Michigan 34-7 in the Game Above Sports Bowl, and Minnesota leads New Mexico 7-6 in the Rape Bowl. The Nightcap sees UNLV taking on UTSA in the Surf Pro First Responder Bowl. After leading JMU to the college football playoffs, quarterback Alonzo Barnett announced he's entering the transfer portal. He has 1 year of eligibility remaining. And in the NFL, the Packers have ruled out starting quarterback Jordan Love with a concussion. Bringing sports news with evidence of the Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
Ring it up for Ohio State.
You've waited all day for this.
Don't let that team stand in the way.
He's going to take it to the house. 85 yards. Down the right side going. Devin Smith got it at the 5 and into the end zone. Touchdown.
The one show that's nothing but the Buckeyes.
Oh! And Brad Rucker for the touchdown. Kraft shoots it high on the right for 3.
This is the Buckeye Show.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Buckeye Show. It's
a
special.
We figured out old people and technology. Yay.
Huh? No, I mean, the bottom line is I saw buttons on this machine I'd never seen on and off before, so I'm glad we're on. But, oh, my goodness, they've left me, Tim May, and my good buddy Patrick in charge. Right, Patrick?
Well, we're going to see how this goes. This is what happens over the holidays, right? People take time off work. Beam didn't want to work today, so we're gonna do our best.
Well, I think there's few people they could get who could talk about Ohio State football and Ohio State sports better than you and myself.
Yeah, we just have to push the right buttons to make sure everyone hears us.
Patrick Murphy, I always call him Patrick because, like Patrick Henry, a true patriot.
There you go.
But Patrick, Ohio State got back to practice today after a couple of 3 days off, getting ready for Miami in the Cotton Bowl coming up, the quarterfinal game of the college football playoff. And Clay, in case there's two or three people listening to us right now who haven't heard about this upcoming game, but they got back to practice today and we got to watch. You know, I never like to say we get to watch practice because we really didn't get to watch practice. But we got to watch about 25 minutes of advanced calisthenics, some warm-up. I got to see the running backs getting the heck beat out of them by Carlos Lachlan. I think it was C.J. Barnett wielding these big pads as they ran past us and stuff, getting them ready for the game against Miami. I don't know about you. What is this the best of the quarterfinal games, or would it be Alabama and Indiana is intriguing, but is Miami, Ohio State the best of the matchups? What's your take on that?
I think they're all good. I mean, look, it would not surprise me like that Oregon-Texas Tech game one way or the other. Like, I picked Oregon to go to the national championship game. We did our picks on here, but Texas, I think, is more legit than probably people who haven't watched them.
Agreed.
Know. The Indiana game is super intriguing because you've got the history of Alabama and the lack of history with Indiana, right? And but the rankings are flipped. And what you would expect is like, oh, Indiana had a fun season and managed to get to the quarterfinal. No, they're the number one team in the country. And then Georgia Ole Miss. I think everyone expects Georgia to win that game. And Ole Miss, I thought, played well in the first round. I don't think they played well enough to make me think they'll upset Georgia, but I think we've got good games. It's much better than the first four games where we had two good games, we hoped.
Yep.
And two games that we all knew would be kind of what they ended up being.
Yeah. The first round just kind of left you hanging, right? And it was funny how they put both of those two games on TNT.
Right.
my wife kept saying, what channel are they on? Blah, blah, blah. But bottom line is, it is what it is when you get to an extended playoff. And in my opinion, that's yet another great example of why I'd like an 18 field, not a 16 or 2014 field. I don't know where they're even going with that, except for the buku cash they think they can make on it. But, you can get tired of something in a hurry if it doesn't live up to expectations, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think people already have the talk out there of expanding or whatnot. This is only year two, Tim. I as you know, I am perfectly okay with letting this sit for a while. Give it the 9-10 years, whatever we had of the 4-team playoff, and then we can decide what needs to happen or if we've got something good. Like, honestly, if you look beyond, if you just took the rankings instead of having a group of five team or conference champion or anything, Like, beyond 12, really, are we still... You know, that way, Texas would have probably gotten in. Notre Dame probably would have gotten in.
Yep.
Who else is really has an argument that, that they should have been in? And then if you're trying to say what teams can actually win a national championship, it's probably even fewer than that, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I think the next step should be, like you're saying, go to 12, but make it the top 12.
Yeah, right.
And move on from there. And if, you know, somebody has a breakout year in the whatever conference, and you let them in. But, you know, those would be rare and far between. And you'd almost have to be an unbeaten season where they're ranked, et cetera. But, yeah, I want to see the top 12 teams go at it. Otherwise, it's kind of an illegitimate first round in a lot of respects, because James Madison didn't have a chance, and really neither did Tulane. I think you agree with me on that, don't
you? Yeah, absolutely. And I look, there have been times. Obviously, we saw Cincinnati make it into the 4-team playoff. And I think the year after that, they probably would have been a top 12 team at the end of the year, because they were still pretty good.
Yep.
Obviously, the Boise State teams back in the day that were you know, making BCS bowl games. Like, so there's a path for these teams. Now, it's more difficult now with NIL and the transfer portal, right, for those teams to sustain.
And with the SEC claiming they should get 8 teams in.
Right. Well, and, I mean, look, the Big Ten's doing the same, right, with the commissioner saying, you know, we want X amount of automatic qualifiers and whatnot. But, look, if I were, and, you know, you didn't ask me, but if I were governing college football, I'd go back to some form of the computers. It doesn't have to be necessarily the same BCS format, but we've got the technology. We put in exactly all the criteria that we want, and it spits out rankings each week. You don't have to have a show about it. You just release them like you do the AP and coaches poll. If you want to have a show, fine. I don't care. It gives us something to do.
Yeah, you have a show, yeah.
And then you have 12 teams at the end of the season, and that way you can't say, hey, there's bias this way or there's bias that way. You get 12 teams, and then you go compete.
Listen, number one, I know I'm old, but I'm not an old fogey. I don't necessarily believe the old way of doing things was the right way of doing anything, because I grew up in the late 50s, 60s, 70s, when it was, you know, dual pole champions at times and stuff. That's not the way you find a national champion. But I was happy with the BCS, the original, because it did, with a lot of input. I mean, a lot of input. And they changed that formula, what, 4 times or 5 times. They did find the top 2 teams and had them play each other.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there were 2 or 3 teams griping because they didn't get in it, right? But they found it by hook or crook. They agreed on the formula. And then when it went to 4, I was happy with 4.
Yeah.
Very happy with 4. You still had like 2 or 3 teams who thought they could have been in, maybe could have been in.
Including some Ohio State teams.
Bingo. But bottom line, they weren't. And I was happy still with that format because I truly don't believe there are 12 or 16 teams that can win the national championship. So why waste your time? Why put players in jeopardy for exhibition games to a certain extent? I mean, maybe that's a little bit harsh, but I think an eight-team field would have been perfect this year.
Yeah, I think so too.
Without the automatic,
right?
What are they called? Group of six.
Yeah.
Group of six. Now, you know, you lose count now. Everybody trying to get in this club and get out of that club and being relegated. Hey, real quick. By the way, we're going to talk about the big news of the day. At least my opinion is, because wow, I saw this. I thought I saw this coming like a week ago, but I didn't know Michigan would get here. But it looks like they're putting the final ink on a Kyle Whittingham 5-year run as the head coach at Michigan. Just what's your initial take, and we'll come back and chop it up a little bit more.
Yeah, I think as soon as Kyle Whittingham's name was
surfaced,
as soon as he wasn't going to be Utah's coach anymore, I think there's a lot of things that made sense about this. If he wanted to stay coaching, if he wanted to stay in college football, and as a guy who doesn't have any connection to that program, so you're not bringing in a Harbaugh holdover or something, and a guy that can sort of stabilize things from a Michigan perspective, I think it makes some sense.
Hey, dude, look at Ohio State, Michigan now.
Mm-hmm.
Both head coaches are going to be from the Urban Meyer tree.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Narratives.
Urban may have a tougher time taking sides in this one now.
I don't know about that.
Kyle Whittingham followed him and followed him with quite a plum. You agree?
Yeah. I'm curious if there were conversations between the two leading up to Kyle Whittingham's decision here.
Yeah.
Because I'd be interested in hearing what that conversation was.
If I was Kyle Whittingham, I'm going to Michigan, because I've been out here at Utah for all this time. I've kind of worn out my welcome. It's like airline pilots. They want you to retire at 65 out there, I guess, right? And he's moved on. And so we're going to get more in depth at that. But A lot of things to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. We got Tony Gerdeman coming up at 6:30. Dylan Davis coming up at 7:30. Two of my good friends and Patrick's too. But this is the Buckeye Show on 97.1 The Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio. Uncomfortably girthy. This promo is uncomfortable. The Fan, Ohio's girth destination.
Hello. Six Buckeye Crews for Cancer sets sail on the Silver Sea Silver Ray. It's an intimate ship with an even better experience. It's all-inclusive of beverages, shore excursions, taxes, and gratuities. Sail to bucket list ports like the Grand Turk, St. Martin, and St. Thomas. With Buckeye greats including Ryan Day, Bobby Carpenter, A.J. Hawk, the Boren Brothers, Ezekiel Elliott, Ryan Shazier, and more. Sailing from Fort Lauderdale, February 17th through the 24th. Call 614-792-6204 to book today.
It's game day at Raising Cane's. If you want to order like a Buckeye, it's the action off the field you need to focus on. The only play you're running is chicken. So what combo are you picking? Make it a perfect season. We've got tailgates of hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce. And jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. All available to order online or on our app. This season is about to be unbeatable. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Experience Buckeye Game Day like never before. Welcome to the 1922 Club, the most exclusive space inside Ohio Stadium, where luxury meets tradition in the heart of Buckeye Nation. Enjoy upscale food and beverages and a game day atmosphere like no other. Create lasting memories with friends and mingling with other Buckeye fans and celebrate every OHIO in ultimate comfort. Become a member of the 1922 Club today. Memberships are limited. Visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com.
You get up early on snow days because snowed in is not an option. The Kubota snow lineup of compact tractors, RTVs, and versatile attachments are built to thrive in the winter. Right now, bring home select Kubota equipment with 0% financing available or save up to $6,000. Now through December 31st, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Find your local Kubota dealer at BuckeyeKubotaDealers.com.
When people live to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses, the Fan.
Buckeye fans, this is for you. Level up with the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. You'll receive all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Ohio State sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off select gear at the Ohio State Team Shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeyes MVP membership for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to upgrade or join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
Come on over to Heartland and join our family.
Now, getting ahead in this world is not as complicated as it might seem. Having the early guidance and counsel of your community banker, one who knows you and your family's story, can make a great deal of difference. Relationships matter. Bank on community banking. I'm Scott McComb. Coming over to Heartland, where banking really feels good.
Rare banking feels good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We're looking at scattered light misty rain that continues into this evening before coming to an end. Temperatures out there falling into the upper 30s overnight. We'll be in the mid to upper 40s Saturday, mostly cloudy and dry, but rain comes back by Sunday morning. Temperatures push into the mid 60s Sunday afternoon. Thunderstorms Sunday night before we cool back down Monday. That's your latest 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Michael Behrens on 97.1 The Fan.
Are we drinking the scarlet and gray Kool-Aid? You bet we are. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Gosh darn right you are. This is Tim May along with Patrick Murphy. I'll call him Patrick because Patrick Henry has always been a hero of mine. Patrick, that's why I call you Patrick. You don't mind that, do you?
No. In fact, until I was a senior in high school, I insisted that almost everybody call me Patrick just because that's what everyone had always done. I think what it was when I was growing up, like elementary school, I played soccer with a kid who was also Patrick, but he went by Pat. So I think that just in my brain,
yeah,
I'm Patrick, he's Pat. And then it was actually soccer because obviously it's much easier to just yell that on a field.
Yes.
I started hanging out with some more of my soccer teammates senior year of high school. And so Pat started to catch on. Then I go to college and people, you know, so then I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, Patrick was what I went by. In fact, most of my high school friends still, like when they hear people call me Pat, they like look at me funny.
Hey, you know, I wanted to, speaking of that, speaking of looking at you funny, I'm looking at Urban Meyer funny now because I do, like we alluded to.
Yeah.
I do think he's, you know, he's got a little bit of a rub now when it comes to hating the team up north, TTUN, because Kyle Whittingham, one of his disciples, mm-hmm. you know, hung on at Utah when Urban Meyer took the Florida job in 2004. Do I have that right? No, 2005, when, you know, Kyle Whittingham got named the head coach there. Now, all of a sudden, Kyle Whittingham's going to be the head coach at Michigan. Are you kidding me? And another Urban Meyer disciple, Ryan Day. Well, he was a disciple for a couple of years, but right. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He heard the gospel. He's the head coach at Ohio State, so you think Urban's going to be a little bit of a taffy pull here when it comes to the game?
I don't, because of his growing up and where he coached. But it does,
I know. I'm saying that facetiously
also. I know. It does make things a little interesting because you do have both these guys coming from that tree, as you mentioned. Look, I think this is, at the very least, I think he will get this program set back on the right path.
Yeah.
At least that's how it seems now. There's been so much that's gone on. We've talked about it on this show and others. You know, I mean, going back even before the Connor Stallion stuff with assistant coach Matt Weiss and the FBI looking at what he was doing on computers and all this stuff, like, you needed a hard reset. And I think Whittingham's a guy who has been there, done that. At a pretty high level, maybe not the highest of highs. You know, he's not been in a national championship or whatnot. But I think culturally, he can get this program back on track. Will he have them winning, you know, going to playoffs and winning Big Ten? I don't know. We'll see. But I do think he can at least, you know, help them get out of what this mess that they've dug themselves.
You remember the movie Pulp Fiction?
Oh, yeah.
You remember the Harvey Keitel mm-hmm. character when they called the cleaner and the cleaner showed up? I think that's Kyle Whittingham in a nutshell.
Yeah.
But he's 66 years old. He's just a pup, man. I'm 71. He's 5 years younger than me. He's still got it going. But, you know, you've dealt with him a little bit. I've dealt with him a little bit. You know, the Rose Bowl, especially most recently. What was that, 4 years ago, 5 years ago? From that moment on, known as the C.J. Stroud, Jackson Smith, and Jigba Bowl.
Yeah.
Wow. But the bottom line is this guy's a salt of the earth, kind of like hard-nosed to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. Dude who understands the modern way of doing things, by the way, when it comes to NIL, transfer portal, etc. But you know, he was at Utah for what, as a head coach, for 21 years, and you know, put together what, a 177-88 record in his 21 seasons. That's pretty good, pretty yeah. good. And the bottom line is, they jumped into the Pac-12, whatever it was, Pac-10, and then Pac-12, and then Pack what, you know, and then now back to Pac-2,
Pac-3 or 4,
now Pac-3 or 4, or whatever it is. But the bottom line is, he did a hell of a job out there. I think you agree, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. I think, like, I've always thought he's a good coach. I mean, going back to shortly after when Urban leaves, like, you saw them have some success.
Oh yeah.
And then, you know, obviously as they jump into a Power 5 conference, they do well there. I mean, I think back, the game that probably stands out the most, just because I know a lot of Ohio State fans were tuned into it, was that game before they play Ohio State in the Rose Bowl, when they knock off Caleb Williams and USC
yes.
in the Pac-12 championship game, a game that no one, you know, everyone thought USC would win that. They'd go on to the playoff and you know, keep Ohio State out of things. And that allows, or maybe it wasn't that year. Maybe I'm confusing years, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, I think, is it a home run hire for Michigan in terms of, like, that guy's going to have him back in the national championship conversation next year? Maybe not that, but I do think this makes a lot of sense because a guy like that comes available. And who knows if there were back channel communications and this is why this all played out this way. But you end up with a guy who I think you can at least get going in the right direction. And you know, who knows what happens from there?
Let me ask you, you know, this is what's intriguing to me, though, now about schools and athletic directors and presidents, for that matter, looking for that home run hire. You know, what defines a home run hire?
Sure.
When USC came and stole Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma, that was considered a home run hire.
Yeah.
Now, I think they've finally gotten their act almost together, Lincoln Riley and USC. They paid a lot of money You know, and they were going to have to pay him a lot of money if they things didn't work out. Steve Sarkisian last year looked like a home run hire from the previous couple of years, and that team didn't, you know, didn't hit the ball out of the park. Definitely this year, you know what I mean. But so it's, I don't know if you got to go out and spend that big money for that big name coach because he may not fit. Brian Kelly goes to LSU with a specific stated goal of winning a national championship because he didn't think he'd be able to get it done at Notre Dame because, let's face it, it's those guys down in the deep, deep trench of your football team that decide whether or not you win national championships. And I think he felt like just on the defensive side of the ball, he couldn't get the players he wanted up front
right.
to get that done. And there's no more a prolific a producer of down there deep in front players on your defensive front than the state of Louisiana and adjoining states, right?
Right.
Boom. He loses his job middle of the year and stuff. So what in your mind constitutes a home run hire these days?
Well, that's a good point. I think it probably is what happens in retrospect, right? Like,
well, it always is. Yeah.
We make our snap judgments when these hires are made.
Oh, he'll be great.
Exactly. You know who's a home run hire? Kurt Cignetti is a home run hire.
Bingo.
Did you think that when Indiana
hired? That's
what
I'm talking about.
Yeah, right. Like this guy from James Madison. Okay, he's done well there. Indiana.
What did he make his first year in Indiana? I'm trying to remember, but it was nowhere near double figure millions.
Definitely not. So yeah, look, I think it's our job here to judge this and have a conversation about it, but yeah, we don't know.
In a strange way, isn't Michigan a little bit fortunate to have Kyle Whittingham hanging out there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just like Ohio State with Urban Meyer, who quit at Florida for a second time after the 2010 season? 2011, he was retired, but I called it forever his sabbatical year. When he went around and saw other people were doing things, not the least of which was Chip Kelly out at Oregon. And
how that works out full circle there.
Yeah, it is. It's a small fraternity when you really realize it, but you know, sometimes you just get to be, you need to be rejuvenated, I guess, is one word or another, in one way of putting it. But here's a Michigan program that needs rejuvenation like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, yeah.
And to hear Biff Pogge tell the story now, you know, that he's free to talk, you know, and he was campaigning for the job. Wow. What a mess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Zach Galifianakis, remember? What a mess.
I think, look, if a program like Michigan should have no problem being successful in today's day and age of college football, right?
Right.
And you don't want all this stuff hanging over them if you are a Michigan fan. And I think Kyle Whittingham can come in. He can bring his own guys. If there are guys he wants to keep that he thinks makes sense, so be it. But now you do get this reset. And, you know, hopefully if you're a Michigan fan, not hopefully if you're an Ohio State fan, this allows you to keep a lot of your guys. I did see there was a wide receiver that asked out of his signed papers and whatnot. Right. But, you know, you hope from that side of things that, hey, we've got a guy, he's a proven winner. He's trying to do it at this elite level now and come help him be a part of sort of setting this program back up.
It's funny because I thought Brian Kelly made sense only because you would think there would have been a good chance of them keeping Bryce Underwood. We'll see if he stays now and stuff. He had committed to Brian Kelly before until the payday showed up and he went to Michigan. Do you feel for Kerry Combs, for example, right now? Just, you know, I don't hold anything against Tony Alford for leaving. Tony Alford left at a weird time. Let's face it, right? I thought Carlos Laughlin came in and gave that room exactly the kick it needed. I don't know if you agree.
Yes.
But Kerry Combs, you know, he sent me, like he does every year, sent me a Merry Christmas thing, and I tweeted him back. I said, man, you know, keep your head on a swivel, whatever, you know, you never know what's coming. But how would you like to be Kerry Combs right now?
Yeah, well, and the oddest thing about it to me is...
He got hired, by the way, by Michigan, what, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
3 weeks ago.
The day of the Big Ten championship game.
Yes.
So people in the Michigan program... Maybe they didn't know they were going to end up firing Sherrone Moore a couple weeks later, but like you're letting this guy that you know there's been some stuff make these hires.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems a little weird in retrospect to the timing of all of it. You know, we both know Kerry pretty well. I hope it ends up working out, you know, whether it's there or somewhere else.
Yeah.
But that was odd. I mean, it was odd just enough. You know, he puts out that picture of him on the Michigan sideline as a kid. It's like, Wow. Man, you bled scarlet and gray here, right? Like, you know, and I get it. Coaches are different than fans, right? Like,
yeah,
it's a whole different ballgame. But now it has an even deeper dimension to it, deeper layer to it of, okay, what are you going to do now that this new head coach is coming in that may want to bring in his own people?
Right, exactly. I mean, it's an interesting time. It's going to be more interesting. Before we break here, one last thing, just keep it kind of short. Of all the things that have come out about the Sharon Moore dynamics, I think is the best way of putting it. What just, I don't know if turned your stomach or struck you the most is sideways. I mean, was it the affair? Is that the right term for it for a staff member? I mean, what just struck you sideways and go, what are you thinking, man?
Well, I think the fact that they knew that there were, or reportedly knew that there were some mental health things.
Yeah.
And they didn't do anything about it when you're getting rid of this guy's job.
Yeah.
You know, like, not that you thought he was going to go off and do those exact things that, you know, break into somebody's house and threaten suicide and all that. But you just have to be careful, especially in today's day and age. You've got to be really careful with that stuff. And, you know, you see how it plays out. So,
yes.
But it's all unfortunate. I mean, you know, we're sitting here in Columbus, Ohio. Obviously, there's a slant, but we're doing the Buckeye Show. But just, it's sad that this is, you know, guys lose their job in this profession all the time. That's one thing. And guys do stupid things. But then to escalate it to that level is where it really kind of elevates beyond just a coach that made some poor decisions.
Yeah, need a checks and balances guy there somewhere. And
yeah, an HR rep.
Yeah. Speaking of checks and balances, Tony Gerdeman, he's a good checks and balances guy. We'll get his take, just initial take on the Whittingham news, but we'll move up more over into Ohio State football news. This is Tim May along with Patrick Murphy. This is the Buckeye Show on 97.1 The Fan.
It's one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of college athletics with a tour of Ohio Stadium presented by Experience Columbus. A seasoned redcoat will be your guide as you make your way through walls of the stadium into the press box and onto the field. Upgrade to the VIP package and get special access to the band center and the Ohio State home locker room. From corporate outings and school groups to single person tours and small families, Ohio Stadium tours offer a variety of options and pricing. For more information, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com and book your tour. Ohio Stadium Tours, presented by Experience Columbus.
New creamy parm pizzas are now at Donato's. A decadent new sauce on two delicious new pizzas. Try the crave-worthy chicken veggie parm with roasted chicken, fresh veggies, and that rich, creamy parm base. Or the savory bacon spinach parm, where smoky bacon meets fresh spinach for parm pizza perfection. Craving something different? Create your own creamy parm pizza today. Donato's. Gotta love more.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The best damn radio show in the land. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Man, the regulars took off. They left Tim May, yours truly, and Patrick Murphy.
Murphy laid you high and dry.
Yeah, Patrick Murphy, large and in charge here with Nate Puderball, our highly capable last-minute producer. Nate, how you doing over there, by the way?
I have had a long day. I'm sure people are sick of hearing me on the radio, but you have another hour and a half of me.
Hey, just chime in anytime you want, man. But speaking of chiming in, this guy has no problem chiming in sort of a low-key but cutting manner. Tony Gerdeman, welcome to the Buckeye Show again, my man.
Tim, good to talk to you. Patrick, good to talk to you as well.
See how laid back he sounds?
Always.
The cutting wit, et cetera, doesn't always come through at the beginning, but have a couple of beers with him and things evolve. Is that the right way of putting it, Tony?
Well, not according to Patrick, but that's another story for another day.
Well, it's because you got to have a hard time making him be quiet so you can talk. Hey, but yeah, I digress, man. Just real quick before we move into Ohio State football talk, getting ready for the big game with Miami, in case people haven't heard about it. I'm being facetious there. Kyle Whittingham, next head coach, University of Michigan. Your initial reaction when you heard that news, and, you know, we'd been talking about it. I know I'd been talking about it for a week or so now that since that guy was available. Why not bring the cleaner in, as I call him? But what's your take on that, Tony?
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. I think it's a good hire for the situation. I view the Michigan football program right now like it's the Jenga game, which all of the pieces have been scattered all over the table and onto the floor.
Yeah.
He's the guy that you bring in to put the Jenga back together and then somebody else can finally go play it maybe later on to a better extent than Sharon Moore did. But I heard you guys talking about, is this a home run hire? I think it's a home run hire, but you also have to in what extent the game
yes.
is. It's
yeah.
like it's a home run hire, but Michigan still trails at 7-2 at the bottom of the ninth. And there's still ways to go. It's good for what there's not many coaches, nobody else that was left in this situation where you could just go and grab. And so I think for as many strikeouts as they had in this game, trying to get their coaches that didn't want it, everybody used this job to get more money for their NIL, to end up with Kyle Whittingham, I think is huge. And whether it's a bridge or not, I think we all agree it is. I think we'd also all agree he's one of the younger 66-year-olds that we've ever been around.
Absolutely, man. And you know, he can ride a motorcycle or whatever it is you want him to do. I mean, he's kind of a different dude. Let's put it that way. That I think a lot of people may be accustomed to at Michigan in terms of his personality and stuff. He's mm-hmm. pretty low key, but man, he's got a wit about him and stuff. And I like this hire for Michigan in terms of at least bringing somebody who can bring some stability to this airplane that was flying out of control, it does appear. But let's move on. What'd you see today at Ohio State's Open? I say this cautiously. Practice? At Ohio State's Open practice? That caught your eye. For me, for example, Gabe Van Sickle at right guard. I think we all knew that was coming, but I'll just start it off with that one.
Yeah, that was the one thing that I think everybody went in looking to see who was warming up and jogging with the one
yeah,
at right guard. Who's jogging between Philip Daniels and Carson Hinsman? And yeah, it was Gabe Van Sickle. And then to see where Josh Padilla is, and I was a little surprised to see Tanker out there and moving around.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Day says he's out, which I will believe the head coach on that one. But good to see that he's mobile. But yeah, it looks like this is going to be Gabe Van Sickle. And then the question is, over these practices, can Josh Padilla, how much can he get in there in terms of the rotation that has been customary now for two seasons at right guard?
Tony, given the Miami defensive line that these guys are going to face, how comfortable are you in feeling good about putting a new right guard in who will make his first career start in a situation like this?
You know, I think last year showed us that as long as the preparation is there, you almost have to give the guys the benefit of the doubt right now because, nine different starting lineups on the offensive line. And look what Luke Montgomery did in the final two playoff games where he just took over.
Yeah.
That was his job. And, he rotated in for those first two playoff games and then took over. So I think having an entire bowl practice situation going for Gabe Van Sickle is going to help. And, I think we know that the right guard situation has been an issue for Ohio State. So then the issue is being addressed, one way or another, it's being addressed. But it will be interesting to see how Miami goes after what they're going to perceive as the weak link, which I also think is what they would have gone after even if Tegra was healthy. They were still going to perceive that right guard as the weak link. So how do they attack it? I think the one thing for Ohio State's side is that Miami's defensive line is more just, no twist. They don't do all of the games and the twists and the stunts that Indiana does.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easier for the guys just to battle the guys across from them and not lose guys in the traffic.
Yeah, it just kind of adds like a Christmas lights to what I call the biggest matchup in this game, in my opinion, is Ohio State's offensive line against their defensive front. Like you said, ramrodded by Reuben Bain, the outside edge guy, and some other really stalwart dudes. But it does bring it into focus, right? And it is funny, Tony, you touched on this. The one thing, the question mark we had about that offensive line going into the season is, who was going to be the right tackle, but more, it was the right guard situation because we always thought they could be better there, right, as the year went on. And now all of a sudden, you're push come to shove. You got to ride with this with Gabe Van Sickle, don't you?
Yeah, I believe so, unless, they find out some things in practice. But Ryan Day has said all along that Gabe Van Sickle has practiced well, and they
right.
know, they believe in him. They know enough about him now that they believe they can trust him. And so, given these next, 10, 12 practices between the Big 10 championship game and in this game, you figure he's going to be as ready as he possibly could be, which I think is a very good thing for the Buckeyes. And again, they needed to figure something out at right guard and make a change or whatever.
Right.
And this has forced their hand to finally do something about it. And, you know, again, how is Miami going to attack it? Because we know they will. Just like Indiana attacked Lorenzo Styles in that game, looking at the Ohio State defense, and it's like, where can you attack? Where can you pinpoint an issue? Because there aren't a lot on the Ohio State team, so if you can find one, you got to go after it.
Speaking of, what has you most concerned as you've watched Miami about this Ohio State team? And conversely, where do you think the Buckeyes may maybe have the biggest advantage?
You know, I think with I don't know how well either team is going to run the ball in this one, so I'm not expecting too much success there. I really like the Miami offensive line, but then, you know, I watched the SMU game this past week, and you start to see some cracks there, and that was a mid-season-ish loss for them in overtime, where you see some, like, the right guard, the right tackle is holding, and pretty much every offensive lineman in that game committed a penalty.
Yeah.
So you start to see, like, okay, maybe things are, you know, maybe Ohio State has somewhat of an advantage there, but I will be fascinated to see how Ohio State handles Malachi Toney, the Miami slot receiver, who is only in the slot a portion of the time, because there are times where he'll be the wildcat. He will throw the ball from there. He will be in the backfield, lined up next to Carson Beck. He will line up out wide. A lot of times, though, it seems like they just throw it to him without any plan of what to do after that. And so when you do some of those quick screens against Ohio State, I think Ohio State is very good with that. I think Ohio State has the advantage over Carson Beck in that he will still make some throws that he shouldn't. And he's, even though he's second nationally in accuracy, when you look at a lot of these catches, they could be placed better. And so sometimes these screens are thrown at the feet or behind a player, and it's like they're not able to get moving forward as well as they could if the throws have been more accurate. So I think Ohio State's defense is going to, you know, have the advantage over Carson Beck, I'll say.
I was going to say, if it comes down to Carson Beck versus Julian Sayin, who you taking?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you asked that. Recorded and we're releasing a podcast, the Buckeye Weekly podcast, about who has the quarterback advantage in this game.
Yep.
And, do you think Ohio State would want to replace Julian Sayin with Carson Beck right now? Because I do not.
Nope.
And seeing Carson Beck, he's a sixth-year guy, but sometimes he plays like a redshirt freshman. And so I think Ohio State has the quarterback advantage in this one, even though Carson Beck has seen it all and done it all. I was impressed. He ran the ball pretty well against SMU in terms of just being somebody who is willing to do it a little bit. But I think Ohio State has a quarterback advantage in this one.
Yeah, I do too. By the way, when it comes to Malachi Toney, remember that the Bear Bryant character in Forrest Gump? When he said, "Who is that?" And whatever, he goes, "He sure is fast." That's what Malachi Toney is. It'll be interesting to see. Keep an eye on. We talked to Lorenzo Styles Jr. and a couple guys last week about that and stuff. And he does present a challenge. You got to know where this guy is, where he's lining up every play, and you got to be dedicated because you can like whiff quickly if you're not taking the right angles on this guy. Correct.
Oh yeah, for sure. And he's not necessarily a downfield guy yet, but I do wonder, do they try to do that? Because that's what
might as well
for Indiana.
Yeah.
It was interesting though today where Ohio State, Malachi Toney wears number 10. Ohio State had two players on the scout team wearing number 10. One was a freshman wide receiver Dez Jones, and the other was walk-on quarterback Eli Brickhandler.
Yeah, there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Malachi Toney will throw the ball.
And by the way, there's another guy wearing number 4 today, and I said that's Jedediah Smith. But that's a story for another day. Hey, Tony Gerdeman, thanks for joining us again, man, here on the Buckeye Show.
All right, I'll talk to you all in Dallas.
Always fun getting together with Tony Gerdeman. We're going to come back and chop up a few of the things he just said. This is Tim May for Patrick Murphy on the Buckeye Show here on 97.1 The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Your holiday table. The family cooking together. The scent of golden brown bread, rosemary from roasted potatoes, and a salad so crisp it snaps. Spiced cider in every glass. Laughter around every plate. At Kroger, we know these moments matter. And we make it easier to bring them to life with quality that's affordable in every aisle. This season, don't just host. Make every moment unforgettable. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
'Tis the season to be hungry at Roosters. That's why for every $50 spent on Roosters gift cards, you'll receive a $10 Rooster Buck back in your stocking. May your holidays be filled with friends and family, love and laughter, and of course, Rooster's Wings. Go to roosterswings.com today or drop by any Rooster's location to purchase your $50 holiday gift cards and receive a $10 Rooster Buck in return. Happy holidays from all of us at Rooster's. Rooster's, a fun casual joint.
Modern Office Methods, your authorized Ricoh dealer, can help your business optimize your print production with a competitive advantage. Our digital printing options will expand the type of paper and substrates from what your business can print on today. Add variable data capability, which allows for personalization of catalogs and mailers, and the ability for short-run label printing, which allows your business to print high volumes of custom labels quickly and on demand. Want to learn more? Start with a print assessment at momnet.com. Why risk it? You can count on Mom.
There's one medical team in Central Ohio skilled enough to care for your favorite Ohio State team and Buckeyes everywhere. The Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center is your choice for the most highly specialized orthopedic and sports medicine care. Our surgeons, physicians, and physical therapists have access to the most advanced treatments and innovative recovery approaches to get you back in your game. Because on or off the field, our team is your team. The choice for your orthopedic care is clear.
Bishop and Friends.
We'd lift, and then you just go to practice afterwards. When did gym become extinct? When did we get to the point where, like, we don't sweat in gym class?
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. If you still have a weird rash from jumping in Mirror Lake, we can be friends. This is the Buckeye Show.
Dang straight, it's the Buckeye Show. It's Tim May along with Patrick Murphy. Patrick, we just got through talking with Tony Gerdeman and from Buckeye Huddle, and he always does a great job. He and Tom Orr over there, two of my favorite people. I don't know about you.
Oh, no, I can't stand those guys.
I know you can't because you're from the competition. I wish we had that clip,
That's
man.
A joke, just for the
sake. I wish we had that clip of Kyle Whittington. Whittingham. Kyle Whittington was a race car driver. He's part of the Whittington brothers, the infamous Whittington brothers, who were operating on more than just gasoline when they ran. But the bottom line is, I wish we had that clip when you... Was it you who asked the question of Kyle Whittingham?
Yeah, Steve Hellwagon.
Steve Wilhelm. Yeah.
So we were at the Rose Bowl. They do the joint head coaching press conference.
Yeah.
And Steve gets called on, Steve Hellwagon, Bucknuts. And Kyle Whittingham just looks out and
blurts,
Bucknuts? I like that or something, you know, something along those lines. And Ryan looks at him and he's like, yeah, we've got some interesting names on our beat. And I clipped it, and I'll see if I can find it during the next commercial break, but I clipped it just to, you know, have for whatever.
Well,
and
it's more valuable than ever now.
Now it's interesting.
Now you can play it every time you use him. He'll be giving a plug to Bucknuts, even though he's the head coach at Michigan. Wolverines.
Yeah, I'll but, see. What I should do is see if I can find that video,
like Red Dawn, Red Dawn, Wolverine. Remember the movie? But you know, I was just as Tony Gerdeman was talking a while ago. I was just thinking this question in my mind. I'll just ask you if you were Mario Cristobal and you could pick one guy from this Ohio State defense, the number one defense in the country, total defense in the country, to be on your team, to like, boy, you could do a lot of things with this dude. I know it's kind of a setup question for you because I kind of know where you'd probably go with this, but who would that guy be?
Yeah, I think
a guy that they don't have.
Right. I think it's got to be Arvel Reese. And I look, you could, you know, Caleb Downs is Caleb Downs, I don't think they have a guy who can do a little bit of everything like Arvel can in that front seven. Yeah. I don't think many teams in the country have a guy who can do a little bit of everything like Arvel can. And I know you look at his numbers statistically over the last, you know, handful of games, it's declined. But we talked to Matt Patricia just earlier this week, and he gets asked about it. And I think it was Bill Landis who said, you know, was asking the question and said, you know, is basically our team scheming to do that? And as he's saying that, you see Matt Patricia just like grin as he's like, yep, That's the answer. And I think, you know, it's almost, he's almost like a decoy out there. I mean, they're not using him that way, I don't think, but it's kind of become that because teams have to put so much attention to them or him that they weren't early in the season.
Yeah.
And sure, it slowed his production, but it's not like the defense has gotten any worse. And, you know, even in the loss, you hold Indiana to 13 points. That should be enough to win you a football game.
Yeah. If the team goes the other direction from where you are, you know, on a specific play, et cetera, we've seen Arvell, you know, play the piano, as I call it, run sideline to sideline at times and stuff. But what has impressed me about him, before I talked about what's impressed me about Matt Patricia's use of him, what's impressed me about Arvell is how disciplined he has been mm-hmm. this year. Instead of like reading the clippings and watching the highlights and going, man, I got to make a tackle every play. He's been quite disciplined at taking care of his responsibility first from play to play. And I think that just stands out about him because then he can still get in the final frame, as I call it, on the scout video. If you watch it closely, he's getting there, even though they're running to the opposite side or just trying to handle him with a double team where you get popped once and all of a sudden you got another guy popping you. All those kind of little things that offenses can do. But boy, to do that, you really got to set somebody else free. I mean, he and Sonny Styles may be the best linebacker tandem in the country. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think that they're at the very least in the conversation, if not at the top of that list. I was looking up Arvell's stats over the season. He had 12 tackles against Penn State at November 1st. Yeah. He has 8 since then. But you look at Sonny Styles.
Yes.
On the flip side, Sonny since that Penn State game, 5 tackles, 7 tackles, 5 tackles, 6 tackles, 12 tackles.
Yeah.
So it's not like the linebacker room hasn't been productive.
Correct.
It's, hey, they're, as you're saying it, they're going away from him or they're double teaming, you know, sending 2 guys to block him or whatever it may be. Other guys are benefiting. Caden Curry in that Big Ten championship game. And I mean, he's been great all season, but that's just the most recent example. Unblockable yeah. because he's one-on-one every time. They, you know, they can't send that second guy. And I think just the way that Arvell and Ryan Day's talked about it, Matt Patricia's talked about it, that experience, though it does seem like everyone you talk to has a different memory of how long he actually was at defensive end his freshman year. Because when we talked to Arvell earlier this year, he was like, it was only like 2 weeks, guys.
But yeah.
The way everyone else talks about it, it was like his whole freshman season. But whatever it was, that seemed to have worked because the fact that you can play him all around that front seven is something that, again, I don't think many linebackers out there can do. And then you have Sonny Styles, who's equally as a freak, has the experience of playing as the deep safety, has covered, you know, remember in 2022 when he was going to cover Darnell Washington until Darnell Washington gets hurt in the Georgia game. So you've got two guys that have these like very different skill sets from your typical linebackers, but they both look like linebackers,
yes,
right?
Yes. And I just wonder, you know, I didn't get to ask Matt a question again the other day. I didn't get called on, but I just wonder which of those chess pieces he covets. I mean, is it Caleb Downs?
Yeah.
Because Caleb Downs is a chess piece that can think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't just put him here on the board. Then he can go, he can decipher what's happening before the move is made and stuff. And then Arvell Reese, you can line him up in all kinds of different ways to one of another way of putting it, grab the attention of the offense.
Yep.
They've got to account for him and stuff. And then, you know, and then what's really come on, I don't know if you agree or not, but Kenyatta Jackson's game has accelerated.
Yes.
In the last 6 games, in my opinion.
Yeah, when he's not being held.
When he's not being tackled.
Tackled, that's a better way to put it.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. That was a high-low tackle, too. I mean, it should have been a flag for that,
right?
You know, yep. What do they call that? What's that block called where you the guy hits him high and then you hit him low? Whatever that block is, it's illegal. But should have been that. But yes. And then Caden Curry, yeah, he does look like a Bosa.
Mm-hmm.
And when he just puts his head down and says, I'm going.
Right.
I'm getting in the backfield. I'm going to shove you backwards or I'm going to go around you and stuff. But I just really think Arvell Reese might be the last guy Matt Patricia schemes about when he's going, okay, this is going to put him over the top. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the fact that you have guys that are as smart as some of these guys are, the versatility, and then Arvell just like as a freak player,
yeah,
really, really puts you over the top. But you mentioned Kenyatta Jackson, and I thought his response when he talked about the holding calls was really impressive. The fact that you know, he clearly is frustrated. I think we all saw that in Indianapolis. But, you know, he said, hey, you know, Sonny told me, don't get blocked. Like, don't let them don't let them hold you. Right. And you think about, you know, I used this example before, like Myles Garrett. He's going to set the NFL sack record. He's getting held. Let's be honest here.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But he finds ways to still get to the quarterback. And I think that that is a good lesson, whether it was Kenyatta learning it from Sonny or Kenyatta now putting it out there for other people, is like, look, I could complain about it. That's not going to do any good.
Correct.
I could just go make the play. And I like that that was his response.
But it is pretty uncanny.
It's absurd.
Yeah. And like, you heard what I said to Kenyatta. I said, well, what about being bear hugged?
Yeah, right.
You know, what? That should be a penalty. Bear hug, number 71.
Right.
Take it back 10 yards. Yeah, we're going to come back and talk about a lot of things. We're going to have a few other, at least one other guest on this show tonight. Of course, Dylan Davis from the Delaware Gazette, who covers Ohio State on a daily basis, big time. But I really enjoy this talk about the defense, because it's really going to, you know, the last time they played, they gave up one touchdown and it cost them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So they're not smug either about what's going on. But we'll be back to talk about a lot of that stuff, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Buckeye Show on 97.1 The Fan.
We are your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Colin Mann here.
Neighborhood where I grew up. But it was tough.
Ohio State National Championship quarterback and former CareSource kid, Cardale Jones.
Football helped me find my direction, but I also needed the right support system. Seeing that CareSource heart around town, I just knew they had my back. That's the kind of difference they still make in neighborhoods like mine. This is so much more than health insurance. CareSource, today and always, trusted. Visit CareSource.com.
Attention Columbus. Town Properties just clinched the title of the largest residential property manager in Columbus, thanks to the Columbus Business Journal. With pride, we oversee 25,000 plus households in the Columbus metro area, ensuring fantastic places to call home. Whether you're on the hunt for an exceptional living space, a top-notch association management company, or a property manager for your multifamily portfolio, visit our website at town-properties.com and let us elevate your living experience. Town Properties, always managing great places to live.
AgPro has been family-owned and operated for over 64 years. We take pride in developing long-lasting relationships and offering first-class customer service. Need a new tractor, parts for your used equipment, or reliable service? AgPro has you covered. AgPro is here to serve you and your operation as your hometown dealer. Visit us today at any of our AgPro locations or go online to agproco.com to get started with your AgPro experience.
They're trained. They're prepared.
Let's do it.
They're Ohio's undefeated plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling team. And they're here to tackle your problems. For plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling, there's only one team. The Waterworks. Better care, better value, better results. Call the Waterworks at 614-232-2222. Or visit them online at thewaterworks.com. A proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus, The Fan.
Good evening, I'm Nate Butterball, your sports update. According to Peter Thamel and Dave Wetzel of ESPN, Michigan has agreed to a five-year deal with former Utah coach Kyle Whittingham to become their next head football coach. Whittingham stepped down after 21 seasons at Utah. He led the Utes to an almost 67% winning percentage and an unbeaten season in 2008. The deal is expected to be announced this evening. In other coaching news, Ohio University has officially promoted defensive coordinator John Hauser to head coach. He coached OU to a 17-10 win over UNLV on Tuesday. Afternoon football featured some Big Ten teams. Northwestern defeated Central Michigan 34-7 in the Game Above Sports Bowl, and Minnesota leads New Mexico 7-6 in the Rate Bowl. The Nightcap sees UNLV taking on UTSA in the Surf Pro First Responder Bowl. After leading JMU to the college football playoffs, quarterback Alonzo Barnett announced he's entering the transfer portal. He has 1 year of eligibility remaining. And in the NFL, the Packers have ruled out starting quarterback Jordan Love with a concussion. Bringing sports news with evidence of the Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
It's time for the College Football Pulse on the Buckeye Show.
Sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
It's Tim May along with Patrick Murphy here on the Buckeye Show. The College Football Pulse is coming up with Nate Puderball.
Good evening.
By the way, what'd you think real quick before we move into it? What'd you think about Ohio U elevating John Hauser after that victory?
That was just the first thing that was going to be in the Pulse today.
Oh, well, go ahead. We'll talk about it now then. Go ahead.
Mr. Puderball. Ohio University promoted defensive coordinator John Hauser to head coach. Hauser said in a statement, "I look forward to hitting the ground running with the team as we look to build on the program's tradition of success in 2026 and beyond." What do we think of the hire?
I like it. Why not? He's been there.
Yeah.
Guys love him. Hey, it worked with Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame. Number one. Number two, they had a pretty good thing going there, Ohio University, until the head coach all of a sudden gets in trouble. And why kind of break up a good thing? So I'm kind of for it. And boy, did the team respond to him in the bowl game the other night. Agreed?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you don't want to overreact to one game or one win, but I would assume because it's a guy who's been in the program and they've obviously had some success under Brian Smith, I think you feel comfortable about keeping some continuity there. And then you go out and have the performance you did in the bowl game. And I think that only, you know, whether that was considered an audition right or not beforehand, I think it only underscores, hey, maybe the right guy is the guy in the building. Sometimes that works. Sometimes it doesn't. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, bottom line for all these coaches. Remember, we were talking about it earlier. You know, home run hire, who knows, right? Till 3 years from now. But, boy, in his debut, he showed he could get a team, rally them from a little bit of a controversial situation, and then play hard and win that bowl game. So, kudos.
Saw this earlier in the week. Missouri star linebacker Damon Wilson is suing the University of Georgia for some contract tampering. He's citing a coordinated campaign for his decision to transfer, claiming Georgia was telling programs if Wilson transferred, he would owe a $1.2 million buyout. We're having now NIL players suing universities.
Well, yeah, it was bound to happen.
Oh, man.
Correct?
I mean, look, Georgia came after him when he transferred to Missouri, and now he's, I don't know if this is a countersuit or what the legalese is there, but, I mean, you tell somebody 10 years ago, like, if you went back in time and tried to tell Tim May of 10 years ago just something like this was happening, would you believe it?
No, I would not. I've always believed players should be paid or should share in the largesse is the better way of putting it, which they're calling revenue sharing now. You understand what I'm saying? But no, I never thought we'd get to this point. It was kind of like, sue me, sue you. I punched a few words there, getting that in there. But the bum, no. Heck no. Who saw this coming, man? And we're going to see more of it. Agreed?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, why not? I mean, you know, the guys who are really making money in this era are the litigators or the lawyers, and boy, I'm thinking they're seeing another gold mine sitting there.
Yeah, and look, is this what we all wanted when we said, hey, you know, players should be paid? I don't think this was the vision. So I do think that they need to figure out a way to get this so we're not to this point. But this is where we are.
You know, Pete Thamel, I had him on my podcast a couple of years ago, and he last year I think it was, and he made a great point. He goes, what's going on off the field is as crazy as it can get. What's going on the field, though, is some of the best football you've ever seen, and it's really weird. All you really care about is do they show up and play football at the appointed time. But this is only going to get wilder.
And ESPN put out a fun little countdown this week. The top 25 most college football moments of the 21st century. All right. The top five. Number five, Connor Stallions on the sidelines in Central Michigan. Number four.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Love it.
Number three, everything Lane Kiffin. Number two, the poison tree in Alabama. And number one, Elijah Moore lifting his leg up in the end zone and costing Ole Miss the chance at a national championship.
Two Ole Miss entries there. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that makes sense.
By the way, you know that Harvey Updike guy, the guy that supposedly poisoned the trees at Auburn? He was a good friend of my older brother.
Really?
Yeah, he lived in Lufkin, Texas for quite a while. He was a Texas State Trooper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Highway Patrolman, whatever you want to call it. It's just a little, you know, like we say, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know, man. I think the Connor Stallions thing is interesting only because it was just blatant cheating breaking a rule, which, you know, poisoning trees, that's probably happened before. Guy making an obscene gesture on the field, like the Ole Miss guy, that's happened before. Just didn't get the replay of it.
Right.
Not everybody had cell phones back in the 60s. Matter of fact, nobody did.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
But I don't know. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I think the Connor Stallion stuff, again, you go tell yourself 10 years ago, hey, Michigan is going to have a guy on another team's sideline.
Yes.
Dressed in their stuff, watching a game to bring back scouting information.
Looking like Baumhauer from cartoon show? The one with the propane and propane accessories. But anyway, yeah, looking like that guy.
And meanwhile, the other team in that game is going to have to forfeit that game.
Right.
How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, that the whole thing's just wild. I mean, every time I think back to really this whole Michigan thing that, you know, you think may end here with Kyle Whittingham being hired.
Yeah.
It just is absurd.
But, you know, until things really blew up at Michigan, more people lost their jobs at Central Michigan than at Michigan. I mean, that's crazy, including a head coach. That's crazy in its own way. So, yeah, I'm with the Connor Stallion saying it's number one there.
And number one in the polls, James Madison QB Alonzo Barnett, just fresh off of playing in the playoffs, is heading elsewhere. He is going into the transfer portal. He's got 1 year of eligibility left.
This isn't thing or not a thing. This is just the pulse, right?
Yep.
I guess that makes sense. Cash in while the cashing is good. What do you think, Patrick? I mean, I think this guy is talented. And sometimes when you're talented, you want to, you know, move on out and see how talented am I? Who's going to throw the money out there? But number two, am I worthy of playing on that level he just played on against Oregon on a consistent basis?
Yeah, back-to-back 2,500-yard seasons, back-to-back 23 touchdowns the last 2 years. Look, this is what we were talking about earlier with the group of five, group of six teams. Like, their best players are going to hop in the transfer portal.
Yes.
To do exactly what you said. Get a payday and see if they can do it to then get to the NFL, right? And so, are you surprised by this? No. I think if you were watching that game last weekend, you probably, if you're thinking transfer portal, you're probably looking at that guy like, man, he can play. You know, he could fit in at, you know, insert school here. So, no, not surprised at all. I mean, I think it's unfortunate for schools like James Madison that this is going to be the way of the world, at least going forward. But, you know, I don't, you know, these kids, you know, we wanted kids to be able to move around. We wanted them to have these opportunities. They're going to have these opportunities, and it'll be interesting to see where he ends up.
Hey, is there anybody, I don't mean to hit you blindside here, is there anybody in the transfer portal from a quarterback standpoint that you've seen that you think this year is must get that could make a difference somewhere? I mean, you know, there's a bunch of them in there. I mean, this young man, I thought he showed pretty good poise for the most part as they played up. Is that the best way of calling it, right? I mean, yeah. from a division standpoint, I mean, they played up, and I don't know, man. It's just, I don't know if you, I think colleges, I don't know if you want to go this route of continually looking in the portal for your guy, your quarterback. I know we could say Julian Sayin, but Julian Sayin was at Alabama for 3 weeks,
right?
You know, not 3 years before he jumped in the portal when Nick Saban suddenly retired. Caleb Downs obviously was part of that package, as I call it, the Alabama package, along with Seth McLaughlin, but he was leaving anyway. But do you really want to go that route, do you think? I mean, aren't you better off developing your own quarterback finally in the grand scheme of looking at things? Look at Carson Beck right now. I know they're in the playoffs, but he's been a little disappointment. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think I wouldn't, but then you look at Indiana. Back-to-back years with really good transfer quarterback play. To answer your question, I pulled up some of the guys in the transfer portal. I'm very intrigued by Dylan Raiola. Like, I think...
Agreed.
I think it was a good, maybe not the best fit. Maybe things didn't work out particularly at Nebraska, and he hasn't played to the level of his recruiting ranking, but the talent's there. I mean, I don't know if you ever went and watched him play or went out to any of those camps, but I was always really impressed with him.
I watched video. I watched it from afar.
Yeah, so, you know, he's got the talent. Will it play out on the field to the level that he's capable of? We'll see. Be very interested to see where he lands.
Yeah, the only thing I've got about Dylan Raiola from watching him the last couple of seasons is there's something missing there from my sense of urgency about him when he plays the position. Mm-hmm. But he's very calm and cool and collected. Has, in my opinion, gotten into the trying to look like Patrick Mahomes a little bit too much. Just like, you know, Arch Manning. Well, that first game, I was extremely disappointed in the way he went about his business.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't have the way I'm talking about against Ohio State. I'm just going, my gosh, this sidearm whip thing, what are you doing? And you're throwing it at people's feet, things. So what I'd like to see Dylan Raiola get with is a team with a disciplinarian kind of like quarterback coach, head coach, kind of guy who's going to really get him on the beam. Because, yeah, I think he has the potential. And could that many people have been wrong about him when you think about
right.
committed to Ohio State, committed to Georgia, committed to Nebraska, now is going elsewhere. He should make a lot of money in the portal, that's for sure. Right?
Yeah, another one just looking through this, Aiden Childs, Michigan State quarterback.
I don't know how to judge him because some guys get to a level and then they don't move up.
Right.
And you would think Jonathan Smith was trying to get him to the next level, and I don't think it worked out.
No. But you see things, right?
Yes,
when you
right.
watch him, it's like if you can get that out of him 90%, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's a guy who can do it. You know, you're thinking about Raiola real quick. If only he had stuck with a program that had a quarterback's coach as the head coach, I wonder how that would have played out.
The quarterback whisperer, or as I like to say, he's the shouterer if you come off the field having made a mistake. So maybe he wouldn't have worked out. Who knows? We're going to talk about a few more things, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Buckeye Show. I'm Tim May. That's Patrick Murphy. We'll be back here in just a moment on 97.1 The Fan.
Whatever you're doing right now, just know that Bo Bishop is enjoying a sip of bourbon. Even if this promo is playing in the morning, no judgment.
Ah, sweet morning drinking.
The Fan.
Do you hate comes to your cancer diagnosis? The choice for your care is clear.
And when you choose the James at Ohio State,
you're opting for care from a highly specialized team dedicated to treating one type of cancer, yours.
A team that studies the unique makeup of your disease to develop a personalized treatment plan.
You're choosing our region's only comprehensive cancer center designated by the National Cancer Institute.
For your cancer care, the choice is clear. The James at Ohio State.
This is Paul Keels for RV Wholesalers. Peace of mind, that's what you get when purchasing your next RV from RV Wholesalers. With every new RV purchase, Ohio residents receive the exclusive Buckeye Service Guarantee. If your RV is in the shop, RV Wholesalers will give you a free loaner. Also with a Buckeye Service Guarantee, you'll receive free delivery in the state of Ohio and 3-day RV exchange. That's the exclusive Buckeye Service Guarantee. Only at RV Wholesalers in Lakeview, Mansfield, Delaware, at RVW.com. RV Wholesalers, a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Don't miss a minute of the Ohio State football postseason presented by CareSource, Kroger, and Spectrum. Celebrate the culmination of the 2025 season with all of Buckeye Nation and follow along on the official athletic site. From the opening postseason kickoff to the final whistle in Miami, we have you covered. It's the 2025 Ohio State football postseason presented by CareSource, Kroger, and Spectrum. Visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com/postseasoncentral2025 now for more information. Go Bucks!
Hosting a passionate crew of Buckeye fans? Revamp your rec room for an epic watch party with power reclining sofas, massaging recliners, entertainment centers, and coffee tables from Bob's. They even have sofas with drop-down tables for snacks and bevs. Shop in-store or online to score big on an incredible game day setup at Bob's Everyday Low Prices. Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows.
Oh no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
God damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now.
Experience Buckeye Game Day like never before. Welcome to the 1922 Club, the most exclusive space inside Ohio Stadium, where luxury meets tradition in the heart of Buckeye Nation. Enjoy upscale food and beverages and a game day atmosphere like no other. Create lasting memories with friends and mingling with other Buckeye fans and celebrate every OHIO in ultimate comfort. Become a member of the 1922 Club today. Memberships are limited. Visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, 2-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the field. That's why Encova Insurance is prepared for what's next and protects what matters most to you. With independent insurance agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova Insurance is an easy win for your peace of mind. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you.
Fan.
and weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
This misty rain continues into the evening, but will come to an end tonight. Temperatures falling into the upper 30s. We'll be in the mid-40s to upper 40s Saturday, mostly cloudy and mostly dry. Saturday night, rain comes back by Sunday morning. Temperatures in the mid-60s Sunday afternoon. Thunderstorms Sunday night before a big cool-down Monday. As your latest 10 weather impact forecast, I'm meteorologist Michael Behrens on 97.1 The Fan.
4 out of 5 dentists recommend this show. The other dentist is a Michigan fan. Yuck! You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
That's right. That other dentist is a grinder. Who wants to go to a grinder who's a dentist? Agreed, Patrick?
Yeah, you definitely don't want that.
No, you don't. This is Tim May along with Patrick Murphy. This is the Buckeye Show, and we're filling in, but I think we're doing okay. What do you think, Patrick?
I think we're a solid B plus, which is fine. That was about where I was.
Yeah, I got you, man. Hey, we're going to play a little clip in a little while from you that's quite extraordinary. Knowing that Cal Whittingham is now going to be the head coach at the University of Michigan for 5 years, or at least that will be the agreement. It does appear, according to Pete Thamel and Associates. Wow, what a development. If you'd asked Cal Whittingham 3 weeks ago, Coach, what do you think, man? You think you'd be the next head coach at Michigan? Well, they've already got it. They've got a head coach.
Yeah, what's wrong there? They just won 9 games.
Things move fast, man. Things move really fast. And why wouldn't he reach for it if it was there? And, you know, everybody's talking about Michigan this, Michigan that. You know, they were playing Ohio State with a chance to still go to the college football playoff several weeks ago.
Right.
And so it's not exactly like going to a desert if you end up there. But, man, maybe it's going like going to the cuckoo house or something until they get things straightened out. But one flew over the cuckoo's nest. But the bottom line is, I'm Tim May. We're talking about Ohio State football here. And I brought this up with Patrick during our break. I wonder if people totally appreciate. I think they do. But appreciate what they're watching right now when it comes to Ohio State football going into this national quarterfinal game against Miami. And by appreciate, I'm talking about two fellows in particular, a guy named Jeremiah Smith and a guy named Carnell Tate. We saw what Ohio State, I don't know if struggle is the right word, but they just didn't look like the same offense when both of them missed the Rutgers game a couple three games ago. But the bottom line is these are two of the best tandem, I would argue, in college football this year. The best tandem in college football this year. I don't know if you agree or not, but do you think people are appreciating what they're seeing right now?
I think it's always hard in the moment, right? Because
right.
you do start to take it for granted. But I think there's certainly an appreciation for what Jeremiah Smith has done these 2 years, right? 156 catches, 2,401 yards, and 26 touchdowns. I think Carnell Tate's the question here. Like, how much do people appreciate what he's done? Because he hasn't put up the crazy numbers. Even this year with, you know, being second team All-American on one of the things. You know, he only played 10 games because of that injury, right?
Right.
And, you know, still finishes with almost 50 catches, 838 yards and 9 touchdowns. Like, and some of the plays, I mean, that's the thing too. You can't just look at the stats. It's what they do. And you brought this up while we were talking in the break. Like, Ohio State's had several of these now duos.
Yes.
Right? And so I think Buckeye fans expect this. I think you'll expect it again next year, right? We assume Carnell Tate leaves. This is as good as it gets.
Yes.
Now, can it be as good again in the future? Has it maybe been as good in the past? You could make that argument. But, like you said, when you took those guys off the field, it was a whole different offense.
Yeah, you watched that video of Chris Henry Jr. I mean, wow. I mean, he's coming in next year. I mean, that's crazy. He'll be teamed up with Jeremiah Smith, as Ryan Day reminded him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where he can learn it. So when Ryan Day, I would love to have seen the video of Ryan Day getting that call, because I don't think he knew specifically that Chris was sticking with his commitment. Until and the way Chris kind of set it up, it sounded like one of those "I'm about to give you bad news" things, you know. But
right.
But yeah. So you know, just when you think you've seen it all, you see something else, man. I mean, I remember the mid thousands, you know, with Ted Ginn Jr. and Anthony Gonzalez, mm-hmm. and Santonio Holmes and all those guys. And then, of course, as I called them, the three amigos, but the three graduados is what I called them. You know, Johnny Dixon and Terry McLaurin and who am I leaving out there? Paris. Paris Campbell. I mean, that was when they finally matured, man, they came on big. I mean, Zach Smith had a lot to do with that, that's for sure. And so it was just, people have just been blessed. I mean, like you said, I mean, you know, Chris Olave, look what he's doing still now, you know, Garrett Wilson. Right. And, yeah, I think that to me, when I look at a game like this, I've been saying it all year. If Ohio State ends up taking the field in these playoffs, for example, I'll just abridge it to the playoffs now. They have something that the other team is not going to have. The question is, can they get to that? And that is the best tandem of wide receivers in the country. And that should be the difference maker for you. Agreed?
Yeah. And if they protect Julian Sain, so he has time to get these guys the ball. I mean, it's hard to stop. And then you add in this defense that, you know, again, the most points they've given up this year was 16.
Yeah.
And is on historic levels in terms of yard or points per game. It has all the makings of a team that can go back to back. And, you know, the running game has started to come on, things like that. But yeah, these receivers and what they're able to do. And I think Brandon Innes is really talented too. I know we haven't been able to see him.
Absolutely.
We've seen Max Clair when it's like, hey, you need me to step up. We talked about that Rutgers game. He has over 100 yards in that game. It's just scary what this attack can do when it's at its peak.
What it can get to.
Yeah.
If in fact, you know, but I always remind people, you know, you say, well, they're going to do this, they're going to do that, but you got to get to it, meaning
sure.
You've got to be proficient in everything you do. You've got to be able to run the ball against Miami. Because, like you just said, I mean, I think, well, as Tony was talking about, they don't do a lot of games up front with their guys. They depend on their guys to make plays just with their ability and their brawn. I'm talking right. about up front for the most part. They don't get fancy. They got to try some of that fancy stuff. You know why? Because it worked.
Yes.
For Indiana.
Yes, it definitely did.
And yet Ohio State's driving. They're going down the field there near the end of the game with a chance to either tie the game. Oops. Field goal missed. But more than that, to win the game. And, you know, ran out of gas there at inside the 10-yard line. And that was that. I'm talking about against Indiana, the only team that's beaten Ohio State this year. So I really like Indiana's defense. And I think Ohio State got a good test in terms of, okay, offensive line. For whatever reason, that was not good enough as a complete package, and got to go back and fix some things. But I think, I hate to use this term, but I think Miami's going to play them more man up. Meaning, you know, you get what you see. I guess coming from Miami, they're going to have Reuben Bain coming off the edge so hard. He's got the little swim move too. He can move around and stuff. But I really think that's a more of a, what do you want to call it, an honest way of playing somebody.
Yeah, yeah. I think it will be less of that sort of mess with your head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't know where we're coming from type of thing, and sort of mano y mano, who's going to win this fight type
yeah.
of battle
yeah.
Up front there. Which, frankly, I think you favor Ohio State. I know, not to take anything away from Miami's defensive line, but I think when Ohio State, you know, hey, You use your talent, go block that guy. You know who you're dealing with. I think Ohio State handles it pretty well.
Yeah, we've seen Austin Saraville destroy some guys on occasion this year. We've seen Luke Montgomery do that. I mean, yeah, you're going to miss something every now and then. Are you not going to get to the second level every now and then? Yes. I mean, I think that's where they could really make strides, is possibly getting to the second level in this game. But I wanted to ask one more thing in that regard. Bo Jackson. Do you think we see more of Bo Jackson in this game than ever before, or what's your take on that? Because Isaiah West, he gives you something when he's in there. Agreed? James Peoples was kind of coming on, then he was pretty much a forgotten soul, you know, the last two games. But my take on James Peoples is I thought he was getting his feet under him there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you started to see that three-headed monster that we thought we'd see at the beginning of the season. You know, once Bo Jackson started to come on with C.J. Donaldson and James Peoples, and, you know, less C.J. Donaldson now, more Isaiah West. But I do think a healthy Bo Jackson, I'd say he wasn't healthy, but everybody's banged up at the end of the year, but now you have had 3.5 weeks and motivated, because I do think all of these guys are motivated coming off of that loss to Indiana. I mean, you want all everybody. We saw it last year, right? These guys all firing at all cylinders. And I think Bo Jackson can certainly be a part of that. You add in all these other pieces we were just talking about, and you've got an offense that can do similar. They'll do it in different ways, but similar to what Ohio State did last year, where they kind of cranked it up, especially if Ryan Day goes now calling plays and everything. Hey, let's go a little quicker. Let's you know, play some up tempo, change things up. And, you know, I'm excited to see what he's going to do back as a play caller.
Yeah, and the one thing that hasn't really been duplicated was the viciousness of Quinshon Judkins and Trevion Henderson in pass pro. They were vicious. And I thought Carlos Lachlan, man, he really made a difference in that regard. And I think these guys have come on, but, you know, you kind of – in my opinion, the last several games, it got a little predictable when C.J. Donaldson was in the game of why is he in the game?
Yeah.
You know, pass pro, you know, you don't want to go that route. But you know what? If somebody's beating one of your guys, you got to have somebody in there to pick him up. So just count him as a sixth guy. And like you said, Max Clair, as well as Max Clair has played at tight end, I don't think we've seen the best of him. And man, Will Kaczmarek had some huge plays against Michigan. So, and in the tight end room. So it's going to be interesting to see what they, when they go all out, so to speak, against Miami, what does that look like? Agreed?
Yes, absolutely. And I thought we might see some more of that against Indiana. And maybe that's credit to Indiana and what they were able to do defensively.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought we might see them go quicker. And they did in the second half to some degree.
Yeah.
And look, I think Ryan Day taking over for Brian Hartline. Like, think back to that 2022 game against Georgia, and when you know, he can just be an offensive guy, and obviously he still has to, you know, be the head coach, but I think that's scary for opposing defenses. It wasn't the offense that let the team down in that 2022 game.
No. When in doubt, air it out. I like that approach. By the way, we've got a little bonus moment here, courtesy of Patrick Murphy. Mr. Pudabaugh, you want to play that little clip?
Did you see the Buck Nuts? Was that the last one? That's awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, the new head coach at the University of Michigan,
right,
Kyle Whittingham, responding to a Steve Hellwagon question before the Rose Bowl several years ago. Pretty interesting, huh?
Yeah. I do not. If Steve were to ask, say, Big Ten Media Days next year,
yeah,
if Steve were to ask him a question, I don't think you'd get the same response. I'm not even sure he'd remember it. But
Wolverine.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure. Wolverine nuts doesn't come across as well.
Exactly. It sure does not. Well, we're going to be talking with Dylan Davis here in a minute from the Delaware Gazette when we come back here, ladies and gentlemen, on the Buckeye Show here on 97.1 The Fan.
Scenes of one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of college athletics with a tour of Ohio Stadium presented by Experience Columbus. A seasoned redcoat will be your guide as you make your way through walls of the stadium into the press box and onto the field. Upgrade to the VIP package and get special access to the band center and the Ohio State home locker room. From corporate outings and school groups to single-person tours and small families, Ohio Stadium tours offer a variety of options and pricing. For more information, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com and book your tour. Ohio Stadium Tours, presented by Experience Columbus.
Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Introducing Optimized IT, the managed services division of Modern Office Methods. With our cutting-edge managed IT services, we bring proven management strategies to the table to support your current IT team. That's not all. Our experienced team provides insight on how to maximize efficiency, helping you achieve your goals faster. Concerned about security? Our backup solutions help guarantee your data is protected around the clock, giving you peace of mind. Start at optimizedit.net for your free IT assessment. Stay ahead, stay secure, and stay optimized.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It's time for your daily dose of vitamin B. B stands for Buckeyes.
Just dig in Columbus. Town Properties just clinched the title of the largest residential property manager in Columbus, thanks to the Columbus Business Journal. With pride, we oversee 25,000-plus households in the Columbus metro area, ensuring fantastic places to call home. Whether you're on the hunt for an exceptional living space, a top-notch association management company, or a property manager for your multifamily portfolio, visit our website at town-properties.com and let us elevate your living experience. Town Properties, always managing great places to live.
New creamy parm pizzas are now at Donato's. A decadent new sauce on two delicious new pizzas. Try the crave-worthy chicken veggie parm with roasted chicken, fresh veggies, and that rich creamy parm base. Or the savory bacon spinach parm, where smoky bacon meets fresh spinach for parm pizza perfection. Craving something different? Create your own creamy parm pizza today. Donato's. Gotta love more.
Come on over to Heartland. Join our family.
Now, where can you get a full suite of business banking services served up by well-trained, caring employees with unquestionable integrity? It's right here at Heartland. Relationships matter. I'm Scott McComb. Come over to Heartland, where banking really feels good.
Where banking feels good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Tis the season to be hungry at Roosters. That's why for every $50 spent on Roosters gift cards, you'll receive a $10 Rooster Buck back in your stocking. May your holidays be filled with friends and family, love and laughter, and of course, Roosters Wings. Go to roosterswings.com today or drop by any Roosters location to purchase your $50 holiday gift cards and receive a $10 Rooster Buck in return. Happy holidays from all of us at Roosters. Roosters, a fun casual joint.
How are you spending your New Year's Eve? Unless your answer involves 13 and a half hours of Buckeye pregame coverage, you're doing it wrong. From 6 a.m. till kickoff at 7:30, we're live and local. Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan.
Picture it.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Social media can be a cesspool. Allow us to navigate the waters. Hashtag Buckeyes.
Sponsored by the Waterworks. Call the plumbing, heating, and cooling technicians at the Waterworks and Header today. Call 614-232-2222. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Man, it's great. I've had a good time here being on the Buckeye Show with my buddy Patrick Murphy. So when it comes to hashtag Buckeyes, I'm looking at this thing. It's a promoting a story. A healthy Jeremiah Smith is scary. A snub Jeremiah Smith? That's a nightmare for defenses. That's what the hashtag Buckeyes have going into the college football playoff. Quarterfinalist Smith didn't win the Biletnikoff Award and faces his hometown team. Have you ever seen a heavenly body come together from an eclipse, not eclipse, but a merging situation that could have Jeremiah Smith on the top of his game in Jerry World, December the 31st against his hometown team, Miami?
Well, here's something to add to that. You know, you look at his stats in the playoffs, they were pretty good last year, right?
Yeah.
You know, the stadium he didn't play that well
exactly,
in?
But
not that that's in his mind, but just, you know.
I had a good little quote with him after the game where he was standing there. You know, it was obvious to everybody, and he wanted to be much more of a factor
right. From
the catch aspect of things. And so against Texas, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about. But he's motivated. You know, it's funny this year against Texas. What, he dropped his first two pass? I can't remember. He's motivated, right? I mean, what does that mean? What does that mean, you think, Patrick, in the grand scheme of things?
I think it means, I mean, he was asked, right? Like he said, yeah. You know, it'll look like what we saw early in the season. Look,
you still got to throw him the damn ball.
You do. And so he can't control everything. And obviously Miami is going to do what they can do to try and take him away. And, you know, there are plenty of guys on that team. I think three guys that were high school teammates with him, some other guys that played 7-on-7 with or against him. So guys will know some things about Jeremiah Smith, but look, I think not winning the Biletnikoff Award,
yes,
and then, you know, getting to go up against those guys is about as good as you could have asked from an Ohio State perspective. Not that he needs that to be motivated. I think he'd be plenty motivated to try and win another national championship anyway. But, you know, you'll take any little bit you can get.
Why do you think some guys didn't vote the way you thought they would in the Biletnikoff Award? I mean, I vote in it. I had him number one. I had Mekhi Lemon number two. But, you know, maybe that too helped Mekhi Lemon be number one. I don't know.
I think you look at the stats and Mekhi Lemon's are slightly better.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, that's not all you look at.
Negligibly better.
Yeah, and like, I know, but I imagine that there are voters out there that don't watch these games a ton. And so it's like, pull up CFB reference or whatever and look, and it's like, all right, well, he has the best stats. We're going to vote him. Though, what was it? Skylar Bell who finished third there. His stats were actually the best of the three.
Well, yeah.
But he wasn't at a big school.
No, he wasn't. And see, but then you put together the last 2 years for Jeremiah Smith and what he meant to this football team, especially in the run to the national championship last year. I mean, it's crazy. What do you think, Nate?
I just think it's ridiculous, though, the whole Jeremiah Smith thing. This is like when Marvin and Olave both didn't kid the Biletnikoff when they were clearly the best wide receivers in the entire country.
Yeah.
I think Jeremiah Smith is going to be angry. I think he's going to be campaigning quite hard for the football, and I don't think anyone on Miami can stop him.
Do you think it'd be fair to keep these awards like the Heisman and Biletnikoff Award? You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Till the season is totally over. I know it screws up everything tradition about college football, about awarding these after the regular season. That way everybody has a shot at it. You don't just go with a superstar of the playoffs. But, I mean, Zeke Elliott would have won the Heisman, in my opinion, going away back in 14 if they had waited until the playoffs were over. Cardale Jones might have taken votes away from him. He only played, three games. But – you know what I mean? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I can see the argument, but then I look at other, look at pro sports and things like that. It's a regular season. Those are
season MVP award.
Right. So I'm fine with it the way it is. And I get the argument, Ryan Day's made that, right? Maybe they should talk about, doing it after. Look, they could do a postseason. Now you have 12 teams involved. Yes. You could do a bowl postseason most valuable, whatever you want to call it, type of thing. And, if you want to do more awards, I don't think the players are going to care if they get more recognition. The weirdest thing for me for Jeremiah Smith, and Beams brought this up on this show, he won Big Ten Wide Receiver of the Year.
Right.
Mekhi Lemon is in the Big Ten playing at USC.
Right.
So, and I know there's different people voting on those awards and whatnot. He was also a unanimous All-American.
Yes.
So every All-American, all five of the ones that matter, voted him first team. That was not the case for Mekhi Lemon. So it just,
So who didn't vote for him is the question.
Well, that was my premise of this whole conversation and stuff. Maybe they held it against Jeremiah because he sat out that one game against Rutgers.
Yeah, and look,
he should have sat out against UCLA, but he wanted to play so much. I mean, if there's a game, he wants to be in it.
Yes, and I think, if he plays against Rutgers, even if he is 60%, say, it's a Pat Statting game.
Yes.
I mean, we knew that, so his numbers look better. Ultimately, I think you want Jeremiah Smith motivated and helping you win a national championship, right? And those individual recognitions will come. And maybe it's some of the, not that there's fatigue like you get sometimes with like a LeBron or a Michael Jordan or guys like that. But, everyone knows he's the best player in college football. But why don't we give this guy, this guy was good too type of thing. And, if we're doing this in LA, we're probably having a different conversation.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Well, I don't know. I think I'd still be having the same conversation. Exactly. By the way, I think I said it earlier, right? There was a guy in the running back room who was wearing number 4 today, a little shorter guy. And I said, that guy's name's Jedediah Smith.
Yes.
Did you like that?
I did like that.
Hey, real quick, we talked about at the jump of the four quarterfinals, which one past Ohio State and Miami intrigues you the most?
Yeah, I think. Ooh, I was gonna go quickly to
Texas Tech, Oregon.
Yeah. Is the one that I'm most interested in, just because I have no idea how good Texas Tech actually is.
Yeah,
correct.
I think they're all four going to be good.
I do too.
I think we've got to, maybe if Ole Miss isn't, with the coaching stuff, maybe if they're not on their A game. But I said that before the last game, and they seemed pretty good. Now they were playing Tulane, but. Yeah, I think that's probably the one outside of Ohio State. But I almost moved my flight because I wanted to just watch football instead of flying back on New Year's Day.
That's what I'm doing.
I decided I could just watch on the plane. But yeah, I'm excited for all four games.
That's what I'm doing. Number one. Number two, it's cheaper to come back.
That's true.
Yeah, a day later. But I'm definitely doing that. But I want to see all four of these games. I think they're all going to be, they can be two touchdown differences, but I think they're all four going to be very interesting. Mm-hmm. The team that I'm interested most in is Alabama. And not because I was an Alabama fan way back when and stuff. My baby brother, Tony, who's actually going to be 68 tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday, Tony.
Yeah, finally I get to say that out loud. But he's a big Alabama fan. I mean, one of those kinds of guys that paces, if you're following my drift. But Alabama, second quarter on against Oklahoma, was a different football team.
I don't think Indiana's going to do everything in their power to hand Alabama the win like Oklahoma did.
Well, that may be true, but Alabama just brought it, man. They were backed into the corner. They just came out through in haymakers, and I was impressed because they have talent. Agreed?
Oh, yeah.
They have big-time talent. So that I've got my eye on the Rose Bowl in that regard. And, of course, you know, we'll be covering the Cotton Bowl down in Dallas, Jerry World. But next time we get together, Patrick, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, this was great.
And it's been the Buckeye Show, 97.1 The Fan. This is Tim May and Patrick Murphy. We'll see you next time.
The two most mature people working at the radio station. And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan.